Randy Crawford, the glow of love. Yep. Hey, check us out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting and anywhere aired around the globe. Yes, Randy Crawford is one of my favorite artists of all times. Hey, check out, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, hey, this is the Boomerang Radio Show right here on the Buzz Studio, W Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, welcome to the set. Oh, I see the original crew here, original cast. You know, I'm not sure whether Mike informed me that he has something, another engagement or not.
And, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he could have. I do know that Aaron shared with me earlier this week that Dr. Sims, she has some challenges in her family. And so my prayers are with her, my heart and prayers, and I hope you guys do the same. Okay, you
know. Well, I did talk to Mike, and he's going to a Trump rally. So.
That makes sense. did he have his red MAGA hat on?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh yeah. Well, see, this is what happens when you are absent from this show. Hey, look, it's left to us to assume. I mean, you always there. Uh-oh, Mike just sent a text. He just sent a text. Oh my goodness. Oh, he said he'd be there shortly. So apparently, he didn't go. You know, Trump, Skip went over the weekend because it was raining. You know, he doesn't want to get his hairdo undone. I mean, you know, undid. Yeah. Yeah. Mike said he heard that.
That was Reverend Demery.
Oh boy, I'm loving this already. This is going to be a good one. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the Boomerang Radio Show, we talk about a lot of the things. Have a lot of fun too, but we get into serious topics that affect our everyday lives. You know, whatever community you're in, everybody's going through something. All right. Oh, today, two things. I was listening to, the pastor from the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church today, his sermon. And, he and I, we do something unusual after the preaching. I have a Q&A, session with the pastor. You know, now how many pastors are willing to go on the hot seat after their sermon, right? So it's very unusual. So is this whole entire network, okay? We are different. So anyway, we were talking about, the separation between church and state and how has politics just, well, it's always been, in the church one way or another. Now some churches like Dr. Demery, he does not allow politicians to come there and give their spiel. He doesn't allow that in his church. Okay. And so he adheres to that, premise of separation between church and state. But do you have some churches that you think that they are holding campaigns in their churches? Yep. Exactly right. Especially the evangelicals. And it's unbelievable. I was asking the pastor, I said, question, you know, I've noticed an increase in his church, and I noticed that after COVID, a lot of churches, let's say in all fairness, a lot of churches suffered as far as attendance was concerned. But then slowly and surely, they have come back in a lot of cases. Okay, and he was saying, yes, over the last several weeks, it's that months, you know, the church has been almost full, almost to its capacity. So I'm asking, and I wanted to find out, well, what are you doing differently? You know, and he was saying that, you know, a lot of people, what he does here, okay, is that he tried to give the, I'm paraphrasing, give the congregation something to take with them, you know, instead of getting up there, and saying, and being recognized himself, or like he was saying, that a lot of people come to church just for recognition, not necessarily to serve. Okay.
Right.
And you find that, there's been a decline even before COVID. There was a decline in most churches in attendance because, in my opinion, people felt that they really weren't getting anything out of going to church services. And you look at all the shenanigans going on. You guys heard about, the stuff between T.D. Jakes and, P. Diddy and a lot of these other nefarious pastors. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know how true any of that stuff is. But you would find, Dr. Demery, just like you said, you wouldn't be caught dead coming out of the boom boom room. So I think it'd be fair to say that you wouldn't, if you got an invite with a private, you know, and if he flew a private jet in your neighborhood, picked you up, you wouldn't get on that plane to go to one of his parties. Because not only whether you've done something wrong, it is also the, look.
The appearance of impropriety.
The appearance of impropriety. And it seems like to me, Dr. Demery, some of these preachers out here today, they don't care about the appearance. You know, I don't get it. Is it that they really aren't believers and they know this and what they're doing is a scam? Or is it they say, hey, the Lord will forgive me. I it just boggles my mind. Dr. Demery, I want your take, please.
Well, you know, I think you have to take a stance on everything. And one of the interesting things about being pastor of a church, it's not, I believe, a job of popularity. Mm-hmm. It's a job of being in the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. And I think if you do that, it changes perspective on how you do things. Because when church becomes entertainment, you lose the spirit of what it's about. Some churches are centered around the music. The music is the main, and so people will come to the church to hear the choir sing. Some people will come to the church to hear the word. And William can tell you, and others who know me, I mean, I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to be insistent in season and out of season, whether it's popular or whether it's not. Because to me, it's about the logos. It's about the word of God and the spirit of God. And when you're true to that, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be one of those pastors who's, you know, got the best show in town. Mm-hmm. Because you're challenging people to move from one place to another. And why? That's what Jesus did. That's why he talked in parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so, you know, that was one of the things that I always challenge people. Like today, we preached on John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, which talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. And I was telling them, yeah, it's not so much about what Jesus said, about what he did and how he acted and how he enacted us to act. So you know who's the shepherd? We are the shepherds, you know, because the Greek word for shepherd is poimen, and poimen means what? It means pastor. And all of the pastoral epistles in 1 Corinthians and in Ephesians, when the term pastor was talked about, it's referring to shepherd. And one of the interesting things is, just a real quick understanding of what pastor means, in Greek, in English, we don't have to worry about gender. But in Greek, like some other languages, like the Romance languages, Italian, French, Spanish, and Portuguese, they're gender-based languages. Mm-hmm. And so the word poimen is neuter, means it doesn't have gender. So a woman can be a pastor, a man can be a pastor, and we know that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't give men any more gifts then he gives women. Mm. And that's not necessarily popular because, you know, some of the old people, some of the old guard, William, you know, you and me grew up in New Hope when they had a pastor that was there, wouldn't even allow women to walk up in the pulpit.
Nope. Amen.
I loved him. He was my mentor in a lot of ways. But, you know, Dr. Foster was wrong about he wouldn't even let women up in the pulpit, you Amen. Know, let alone preach.
Amen. So, growing up in the South, that's regular.
That's right. And so when you are, I think, challenging people to move from one point to the next, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be the best show in town. You know, you may have a really good choir, but I think one of the things pastors are called to do, and that is preach the word and to challenge people to grow and to move to another state. And when you do that, when you compromise yourself through politics, through popularity, through being the best show in town, you're going to compromise yourself.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
And you know, and well taken. You know, I recall going to many services and leaving out of it, and you know, I used to sing in practically every choir that was there except for the children's choir, right? Right.
And you would have sang there if they let you.
If they had asked me, I would have been there. But what I used to hear coming out of church, man, wasn't that choir good?
Right.
Sometimes you would hear, hey, the preacher preached, didn't he? But more often, and it was like, boy, the choir was really on it today. And so what Dr. Dimery is saying now, I love singing in the choir. Okay, and I love that toe-tapping, foot-stomping music. I love doing it, and I think it should be a balance there. And, you know, it would have been better to me if it says, boy, the preacher preached and the choir sang. But so often, so often, and it was about the choir.
Right.
And, man, I used to love to hear William sing. William used to sing this one song called what was that song William used to sing where I used to tell him, and throw your head back, close your eyes, and just holler.
You know? Amen.
So, I mean, I love a good choir. I used to love to see and watch the usher board, you know, cut that corner. We are ushers in the army. I love to watch him cut that corner and make that turn. I love that. But all of that is for naught if you're not preaching the word and effectively changing people's lives, breaking the yokes, casting out demons. If you're not doing that, then you might as well, you know, go into being a talk show host or something, you know, because you're not preaching.
Oh, absolutely. And you may not be a good talk show host, too, if you're not feeling the audience. You know, I'm serious about that. You've got to know your audience, right? And so, and another thing, and I want you to touch on this, too. I think that our churches, they can complain, oh, you guys aren't coming to church. Wait a minute. Hold it. You're complaining that we're not coming. What reasons are you giving me to come? What reasons are you really giving me to come to your church? You know, I don't understand that, because a lot of, and people aren't stupid. They see what some of these, especially now, these evangelicals. I don't know why. I know how to pronounce that word, but it's just for, I don't know. Maybe I just don't like the word. My throat doesn't like the word, I guess. But they have excused some ill doings, people that are doing nefarious things, and we can go all the way up to the top. You know what I'm talking about. But how can you say that you love the Lord? Okay, and you are excusing, I mean, out and right out sin. Now, I know there are a lot of different sins, and I want to touch on this too, because I think that they are degrees, and I think that if God is going to hand down some punishment, I think he's going to hand it down just like you would in a courtroom. You're not going to give a woman who stole some formula for her baby the same sentence that you give a murderer or a rapist. And to me, I don't know. I understand. People say, well, sin is sin. My baby was hungry. Okay. I lost my job and or whatever circumstance. I'm not going out buying, stealing alcohol or stealing money to buy drugs. Okay. Okay. It's a matter of life and death here. And I think that, given a chance, knowing the way mothers love their children, if they had no other choice, they might steal that formula. Okay, but that is a different thing, and I see where these people on a hierarchy of the church. See, that bothers me too. Okay, because you are a trustee or a deacon, you walk around like the church belongs to you, you know, and like you're more important than that person that's sitting on the back row. Man, get out of here with that stuff. You were supposed to be there to serve. Okay,
right.
So but the decline in attendance, the decline in people, in believers, or people walking away, how much and would you attribute to that these people see these so-called church leaders are just out and out phonies?
Well, I think here lately a lot is of that is why people aren't going to church. I read an article a couple of weeks ago talking about church attendance and how it's still down. This isn't that particular article, but this one's from June 26, 2023. And it's from the Gallup website. And you know, Gallup is one of those very popular polling institutions. And it says U.S. church attendance still lower than pre-pandemic by Jeffrey M. Jones. Washington, D.C., U.S. church attendance has shown a small but noticeable decline compared with what it was before the COVID-19 pandemic. In the 4 years before the pandemic, 2016 through 2019, an average of 34% of U.S. adults said they had attended church, synagogue, mosque, or temple in the past 7 days. From 2020 to the present, the average has been 30%, including a 31% reading in a May 1st through 24th survey. The recent church attendance levels are about 10 percentage points lower than what Gallup measured in 2012 and most prior years. Mm. The coronavirus pandemic caused millions of Americans to avoid public gatherings, and many houses of worship were closed to help limit the spread of COVID-19. Still, Americans were able to worship remotely through services broadcast over their internet, television, or radio. Most of those who reported attending religious services in 2020 said they did so virtually. Even accounting for remote attendance, however, church attendance figures were lower than in prior years. It's not clear if the pandemic is the cause of the reduced attendance or if the decline is a continuation of trends that were already in motion. However, the temporary closure of churches and ongoing COVID-19 avoidance activities did get many Americans out of the habit of attending religious services weekly. Attendance rates since 2020 are lower among nearly every major subgroup. The main exceptions are groups that had low levels of church attendance before the pandemic, including adults with no religious affiliation and political liberals. Church attendance is down 4 points among Protestants from 44% to 40% and 7 points among Catholics from 37% to 30%. The two largest faith groups in the U.S. Sample sizes for those in other religious groups are too small to provide reliable estimates for the period covered in this analysis. Republicans, Democrats, and independents show similar declines in church attendance since the pandemic began, between 3 and 5 percentage points, though Republicans, 40%, remain much more likely than Democrats, 25%, or independents, 25%, to attend religious services. Notably, though,
one of the greatest
the Republicans thing. Went down from 45% attendance to 40%, independents went down from 30% to 25%, and Democrats only went down from 28% to 25%. The first time Gallup asked about church attendance after the pandemic began in April 2020, 31% of U.S. adults said they had attended religious services in the past 7 days, with 27% doing so virtually and 4% in person. For much of 2020, far more attended virtually than in person, with overall attendance rates ranging from 25% to 31%. In May 2021, after COVID-19 vaccines were widely available, overall church attendance was steady at 30%, with about twice as many attending in person as remotely. Since then, the percentage attending in person has continued to grow to 26% in the May 2023 survey. Now just 5% say they attend virtually. Those numbers are essentially the reverse of what Gallup measured in the early months of the pandemic. So for me, in my opinion, I think the pandemic may have accelerated what was already happening. They mentioned, you know, that there were other factors, other things trending, making people stay away from church. And I've said before on the show that I've read several articles in the past talking about people equating Christianity with politics and with terrorism. And with a lot of other negative things that have absolutely nothing to do with Christianity. But let's just put it that way. I believe, you know, that the separation of church and state, if you were to read the Bible closely, you see it first instituted by God, even though he doesn't explicitly say that. You look at the Old Testament where the children of Israel were released from bondage in Egypt, and God basically set up a church state for the Israelites to be led by him. Everything about their lives were intertwined with going to the temple and being a part of the religion. And if you were no longer a part of the religion, you had a really hard time back then. And so then when Jesus came, they tried, the apostles tried to reinstitute that same type of system with everybody bringing everything they had to the church, and they were all living together communally and all that. But the Lord didn't let that stand. Mm-hmm. And he sent them all over the world to spread the gospel. I believe the Lord basically was showing us in his word, if you look at all of the people in the Old Testament who were part of this church state, that were corrupt, that the prophets who lied, the kings who didn't have the Israelites' best interest in heart, and so many other things that happened, to let you know that you can have people who are supposed to be your religious leaders, but they were, as the Bible put it, keeping a lot of rules on the people of the church that they themselves weren't following. They were basically being hypocrites, and they were putting burdens on the people that God himself didn't necessarily impose upon them. So you have a stark picture in the Bible of what it looks like when you have religious leaders who are also your politicians. Mm-hmm. And so God himself didn't let that stand after Jesus came along. And so the Bible, in my opinion, shows us clearly a separation of the church from the state, so that you can have a person who should be led by the Holy Spirit, who should be teaching you by the revelation given to him or her from the Holy Spirit, and not be corrupted by the so-called power that comes along with being a political figure. But that's my personal opinion. I think that has had a lot to do with the erosion of church attendance, because we obviously have corrupt religious leaders who are acting on behalf of rogue politicians who are basically, as a lot of people think of them, extremists, terrorists, people who want to overthrow our government.
Absolutely. I tell you, let's see if I can find this one. I want to share something with the audience. I thought it was quite humorous, but and it's only about 9 seconds, and I want you guys to check this out. Oh, hold on 1 second. Let's do this. Let's back it up. Here we go.
I don't think he went to school nowhere. If he went to school, he didn't learn nothing.
Okay.
I agree, sweetie. I wholeheartedly agree.
I tell you what. Dr. Demery, you get one guess who that little kid was talking about.
we saw the picture.
The obvious one to have his picture on there.
if his picture weren't there, I would know who he's talking about, and would there be any doubt? If you had, I should have told you, Dr. Demery, close your eyes. So, okay. And take a wild guess. But I thought that was the funniest, funny but true. The reason why I did that, because we're talking about separation between church and state. And I think we touched on this a few weeks ago. And that is one of his latest scams. Okay. Besides these fake gold tennis shoes and cologne. Let's see, what else is he selling? Oh, the Trump Bible.
Stop. Don't do it. Don't.
I got to go there. And because somebody, and I hope none of my brothers and sisters, no matter what color you are, whatever race, ethnicity, or whatever it is, please don't fall for this. Dr. Demery was saying, now he's selling for a low price of $59.95. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now they do that. That's a little trick in the retail business. They will cut it off, you know, cut the price off by 5 cents. So you think you're getting a deal, right? So $59.95 doesn't sound as bad as $60, right? But it's still $60. I don't care what you say. All right. But the point that I'm getting at, the goal, and I cringe every time I hear one of these politicians get up there and talk about, we are Christians. This is a Christian nation. We're Christian nationalists. Then they turn around with the same breath and they want to harm, murder, cheat, steal, and lie to people. That goes back to my original question. Do these people have any fear of the Lord? Do they have any fear of the Lord? Do they not really believe at all? Or do they think that they can be like some sectors or some religions that you can go into a confession booth even after you done did the worst deed and priest, I confess to this, and you walk out and think you're okay. I think that was the dumbest thing. You know, man is so stupid. Man is so stupid. How can you send a rocket to the moon, build, and have all this technology? You're talking about AI. We're talking about some heavy-duty stuff. Yet you don't have common sense. Okay? Who in the right mind think that you could perform or just have performed the most horrendous thing that you could ever do to another human being and walk into a booth and this priest is going to forgive you and everything is okay? That makes absolutely no sense to me. No sense. Try it in the courtroom. See what the judge is going to do. All right. See what the judge is going to do. The judge, you know, yes, I did it. I did all these things that I'm accused of. Yep, that was me. That's me on camera. All right. Oh, yep, that's my words. Oh, yeah, I forged that. So, all right. So you're going to forgive me, right, and let me walk out of this courtroom. Do you think the judge is going to fall for that? That will never happen.
Okay. But that's the difference between church and state. On the one hand, you have grace and mercy that you can get from God. And who knows, you know, he may in a lot of cases, in some cases, at least, not allow you to suffer the consequences after you've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. However, there are instances like with King David, where, yeah, he asked for forgiveness, but he still suffered the consequences of losing his kingdom, of his family turning in on itself, son raping his own sister and that type of thing, having to pick up and leave because they're after him, trying to kill him. It's one of those things that you want to have different, in my opinion. You want those two things to be different in your life. And maybe that comes from growing up in a system where there was the separation of church and state, but I see the value in it. On the one hand, do I want my religious, do I want my politicians to be believers in Jesus? Do I want my lawyers and judges and anybody in authority to be Christians? Of course I do. At the same time, there's a difference in being a believer and being, say, for instance, the pastor over the church who is responsible for the spiritual growth, the discipleship of people. I have to apply the law of the land, and as it pertains to what, you know, the area where I work, where mercy can be given, of course I can understand applying mercy, but usually you're going to have to apply the law the way that it is. That doesn't mean that applying the letter of the law is the way that you go every time. The spirit of the law is justice, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, the woman who maybe stole some formula for her baby because she didn't have anything else that she knew to do at the time. Okay. yeah, that may be one of those times where, yeah, you're guilty, but get probation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Instead of, you know, we're going to put you in prison and put your child in the system and all that kind of stuff that goes along with it, turning a bad situation into something monumentally worse. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the person who murdered somebody in cold blood will get that same type of treatment.
Right.
You took a life. And so, yeah, you have to spend your life in prison now. And you want to be able to have a just system in place. And you also want to be able to go someplace where you can worship your God in spirit and in truth. I just think it works better when those two things are separate, but that's just me.
Right. Hey, welcome to the set, our other panelists. Mike. Mad Mike, how are you, Mike?
Mad, because y'all were talking about him.
He's going to forget. Mike doesn't forget anything. He doesn't forget anything. Okay.
Sorry for my late appearance, y'all. I've been listening in, I promise.
Hey, no problem at all. But Mike, what we're talking about, and you can jump in anyway, and then you can get Dr. Dimmick for saying that you went to a Trump rally, even though... But you know, if you guys didn't know, like, he canceled his rally over the weekend in North Carolina. He didn't want to get his hair do wet. Okay. It was raining there. So, and you had people that they were there waiting. One lady drove 13 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. More power to you, sister. All right. Like you were going to get something out of it anyway. You got as much as you're going to get. But that's a whole nother story for another day. Right now, Mike, we're talking about, you know, you too often bring up this thing, which I really understand. Good versus evil.
It's real simple.
Okay, real simple. And Mike, what bothers me, because you have a lot of people out here that they're trying, they says, okay, you have different sects. Some people say, I believe in God. I know there's a God. You have some people out here just trying to find a way and wondering, is there a God? Okay. And you have some people that's on the fence, or you have some people that don't believe at all. And I think that some of these so-called church leaders are doing themselves a major, major disservice when they get up in the pulpit or on podium or anywhere and they'll preach one thing and then turn around and do another thing right in front of your face, where they excuse bad behavior when, I mean, it's right there. I mean, it is an obvious, obvious sin. And so that really burns me. I mean, it's offensive. And I believe that God has to be offended by that if you are using his name in vain. And my mom growing up, you know, a lot of us, we would say something. That's blasphemy. Don't you ever use the Lord's name in vain. Okay. Right. Not that we curse, you know, we would use something, that had to relate or refer to God or something like that, but it was not used properly. And shucks, you could get a whooping behind something like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah,
it didn't happen. So it's really offensive to me, Mike, you know, whatever your level of belief is, for someone to mislead you like that. To say, the Lord says, and they can even quote scripture, and then they turn right around and do the opposite. Your take, Mike.
Well, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on in this world.
That's my point.
Look at the politics for a second. And again, I apologize for being late. I'm probably not the best person to talk on religion, but because Trump and I just left the boom boom
room. don't
sorry, Judge. Yeah.
No, go on.
I had.
I love it. I know. I love it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, do it.
But I'm with all of you on this. Absolutely, 100%. I don't like the hypocrisy of what's going on. If you're going to do something and you say you're going to do something, then you need to follow through to the best of your ability, unless there's some major obstacle in your way that's preventing you from from taking care of business. Right. And and Dr. Demery, please don't be upset with me, but I'm one of those people that believes that I don't need to go to church every Sunday to have God in my life. Uh-oh. God is in my life. Not one day a week. God's in my life 7 days a week, 24/7.
I went 7 days a week.
Hey,
and I think if you have that mindset, I think that's a healthy and productive mindset to have. And I very much enjoyed visiting with Dr. Demery on Easter. Had a blast with you, sir. And you will see me again. I promise I'll be out to your church again. Just because I like the environment. Everybody, you know, he did something that I might have said this before on the Boomerang, but in a lot of churches, they'll have you stand and turn to the person to the left or right of you or behind you or in front of you and say hi and shake their hand or give them a hug or whatever. Mm-hmm. In Dr. Demery's church, everybody got on their feet and went across all the aisles. I think I hugged everybody in that church.
Yep.
I'm serious. And that was so welcoming and just so honoring for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Demery, I appreciate you and what you do in your church so much. And I'll be back.
You know, I can certainly appreciate that. And what you're saying, Mike, you're exactly right. And it's so much, and that kind of takes me back to when all of us were growing up. You knew everybody on your block. You knew the people on the next block, the block behind them, and so forth and so on. And right now, you might know your next door neighbor, I mean, to the left or to the right. You might. Okay? Mm-hmm. But not necessarily so these days. I want to play something right now and to let you guys know, we are equal opportunity as far as our criticism is concerned. I want you to check this out. This is, Democratic Senator Menendez, and you will not believe what he did. Take a listen. Okay, let's see. Come on. Okay, here we are.
Charges for the second time is now considering throwing his wife, Nadine, under the bus. That's what he's going to do. Maybe. Okay. This is according to newly released court filings. And the only reason why we have access to the court filings is because a group of journalists fought to make them public. But here's what we know. So Menendez may claim that she, his wife, hid information from him, leading him to believe that nothing unlawful was taking place, according to court papers unsealed on Tuesday. Now, if you're wondering, well, what exactly did he engage in? He is accused of essentially selling his influence in order to get bribes from foreign governments, including Egypt and Qatar. So as the person who used to be the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, he had to step down from that position because of these new charges. You would think that he would understand that by doing these deals and taking money and gold bars from foreign entities, he's probably doing something wrong. I mean, I don't think I would need my partner to mislead me to engage in that activity, not knowing that it's wrong. It's wrong. You know it's wrong. Like, it's ridiculous to throw his wife under the bus.
Yeah.
And by the way, his wife is corrupt. She's facing charges herself. She's going to be tried in a separate trial. But I just find it so, this is a perfect example. No honor among thieves.
Yes, but there's might be a couple of legal reasons why they're doing this. But I do love the idea that Bob Menendez was like, I don't know where all those gold bars came from. And I just never even asked. I mean, there was gold bars all over the house. And I just figured, you know, she was into gold.
Listen, nothing suspicious about having gold bars in your home. I mean, everyone does it, don't they?
Yeah, and I think the money was stuffed into his suits. So when he put on his suit, was he like, ah, my wife stuffed it with money again. I guess that's how she likes to, you know, decorate or something. It never occurred to him that it might be corruption. Pausing here to deliver some honest truth as we do in our news coverage as well. TYT is facing challenges, guys, as the entire industry is. You know who could make the difference? You. If you hit the join button below, it's going to make all the difference and keep us in business. We appreciate you. Thank you.
So there's more. So the revelation that he might throw his wife under the bus was contained in two sentences in a legal brief filed by Mr. Menendez's lawyers, who had asked a judge to keep them secret because they detailed a trial strategy that if made public, would surely garner significant media attention, correct, and bias the jury pool. That I don't know about. Now, according to the newly unsealed sentences, Menendez may testify at his trial, and if he does, he would disclose communications with his wife, Miss Menendez, that would tend to exonerate him, but may incriminate his wife. So here's the wording from the exact wording from the filing itself. While these explanations and the marital communications on which they rely will tend to exonerate Senator Menendez by demonstrating the absence of any improper intent on Senator Menendez's part, they may inculpate Nadine by demonstrating the ways in which she withheld information from Senator Menendez or otherwise led him to believe that nothing unlawful was taking place, the documents state. That manipulative, tricky, sketchy wife. That poor Bob Menendez, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just led astray by that naughty, naughty wife.
Yeah.
Come on.
First of all, it seems really classy.
Right.
Right. And if you're going to stay in politics too, that's the best way to go. Hey guys, look, it wasn't me. It was my goddamn wife. You know, hashtag family values. Okay. So now look, there's a couple of reasons why they might be doing this. Since they're in split trials, there's some chance that Menendez will say, it was my wife. And then when her trial starts after his, if he gets acquitted, they then turn around and go, no, it was Bob. But remember, you can't try someone for the same crime twice, mm-hmm. right? So then they could go, ha ha, messing with you. It doesn't matter that we're lying. Okay, try us on perjury, which is a much lower charge. And you're going to be much more reluctant to try a senator on a low charge like perjury. If they mix up their stories, and of course they're not just going to say, it was my wife, no, it was me. They're going to use language that's going to make it kind of fuzzy around the edges. So maybe they can avoid a perjury charge too. So I don't know that they're going to do that for sure, but that is one reason they might be doing this. Another reason is that you have a privilege when you're married, like you do with a doctor or a lawyer, but those privileges are complicated. They're not blanket privileges, but in this case, it's possible that he could say, it was my wife. She uses spousal privilege not to testify.
Oh.
And then everybody thinks it was the wife. And then at her trial, they do the same exact trick. She says, it was my husband. He chooses spousal privilege not to testify. And then they both get off.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And remember.
I'm going to stop it right there. Okay. Wow. Gosh, let's dissect this. And he's a Democrat. And like I said, if you're a slime ball, you're a slime ball. We don't care what Democrat. Okay, independent. That really doesn't matter. I remember a story going back, and this guy was also a Democrat. Was it Wiener Schnitzel? No, Paul Wiener. His wife worked for, I believe, Hillary Clinton. And this cat was doing all kind of things. And I'm not sure whether it was underage girls he was sending nude pictures to or... I'm not sure she was underage or not, but it was some slimy stuff that was going on. So Mike is right about some things, you know, a lot of things he's not apt to correct him. Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, I'm giving you a little credit, okay? Anyway, getting back, but no, nefarious things happen on both sides, okay? Now, am I going to join the Republican Party? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not going to happen because I keep score, you know. And many times in politics, I've heard, even before we started this, even before I started this station, I'm saying, you know what? Doggone it. I got to pick one. I'm going to pick the lesser of two evils. Okay? I've got to go with the odds there. And I'm going to bring up something later on another clip, not necessarily with this guy. But can you imagine? And he won't even resign. I don't understand, Mike, how these guys can walk around and even get in front of cameras day by day by day. They know what they have done, but they have no shame. That was a time growing up that most people had, and I'm not just saying most people don't now. And maybe it's with social media and television and all sorts of media, you know, it's more exposed now. Because guess what? Evil didn't just start happening, even in our lifetimes. We can go back, and Dr. Dimmer, he can tell you even more about this. And you can also, it started thousands of years ago, man has been evil. But I'm telling you,
as long as man has been on this earth, it's been man's inhumanity to man. And if you go back to the very beginning conception of the Bible and such, it shows it right there. It's very clear.
It does, Mike. I do remember in my neighborhood, and I mentioned this, I think, yeah, you probably heard it too. We knew everybody in the neighborhood, and they knew you. There was no internet, okay? There was no Wi-Fi, no smartphones, anything like that. But I guarantee you, the word got back to the house before you did. My mom knew some things that I was doing, you know? And when I got home, I was shocked. Hey, so where were you? And I said, okay. When she asked me a question like that, she already knew. My mom was probably one of the best lawyers. Never went to law school or anything like that. But she didn't ask you a question she didn't know the answer to.
Right.
She knew. Okay. And you better not lie. I paid for it once. And I was 6 years old then. Oh, my God. I'll never forget it.
Learned, didn't you?
Child abuse. It was just child abuse.
It was not child abuse. parenting.
Correction.
Right.
You guys, look, you guys call it what you want, okay? All right? I have memories.
You're alive. I don't see any bruises.
What were you doing, William?
Nothing. Nothing.
I lied. She asked me where did I get some candy, where did I get the candy from, and instead of telling her I spent my lunch money, I told her I found the money.
Oh yeah, that's the old finding excuse. Yeah.
Okay.
It was just that's laying there on the.
You know that didn't. You know what?
What am I supposed to do? Free money.
That wasn't supposed to warrant the type of abuse that I suffered that day.
Really?
Yeah. Let me move along because
you're not
I'm not going to get any sympathy from this panel at all. So anyway, let's moving right along. Oh. But Mike, getting back to it, I bet you knew your neighbors. You knew blocks away, you knew people. They knew you. And I think that the problem with man, part of the problem right now, we're always going to have some problems. But I think they were minimized because they weren't neighborhood watch establishments, but you were watched by the neighborhood, and they weren't afraid to tell your parents.
Nope.
They were not afraid to do that. And today, a lot of people may not even know their next door neighbors. I think that's an issue. What do you say, Mike?
Well, I think I brought this up on the Boomerang previously, but doing investigations and stuff, I had to go and do knock and talks and talk to people in different neighborhoods all over the San Bernardino County for different reasons, trying to gain information and such. And I would knock on a door, and I'd tell the person to answer the door, you know, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm here. Your neighbor to the left here, do you know them? And they say, no. Well, how long have you lived here? Oh, 20 years. How long have they lived here? Oh, at least 15. But you never see them. You never talk to them. You never converse with them. You never wave it. No, we don't talk. The garage door opens. They pull their car in the garage. The garage door shut. And we just, well, how many kids did they have? I don't know if they even have kids. It's just so odd to me that they're living side by side for more than a decade, and they have no idea to the left or to the right of them, or even across the street, if they have kids, if they're black, if they're white, if they belong to a motorcycle gang, if they do this in their private life. They had no idea, none whatsoever, and that just blows me away. I was a paper boy, so I threw papers for, I think, four blocks. One, two, three, yeah, at least four blocks was my paper route. And everybody on that route knew me. knew my folks, Alan and Helen, and mom was in law. She was with Fraser, Dame, Burrell, and Doherty was the law firm that she spent 40 years with, bless her heart. And dad owned two Union 76 gas stations. So they would all take their cars to see Big Al. They called my dad Big Al. He was he's about 5'8", but he was, you know, a pretty large guy. Had arms like Popeye, though. His forearms and he was built like Popeye. So they knew my dad because they'd take their cars to get serviced at his place back before we had other automotive. You went to the local gas station, and his places were always packed. And then again, mom being part of one of the biggest law firms, Santa Ventura County, she was well known. And the partners in the law firm, Fraser, Dame, Burrell, and Doherty, they all referred to my mother as Mother Ward. That was her name in there. And they did not mess with Mother Ward at all. My mom was very kind, never swore, never raised her voice, was a kind and gentle lady in every sense of the word lady. And very, very educated. I wish I had my mother's education and her ability. But she could disembowel you with words and never raise her voice. So she would go in the offices, and she didn't mean to be mean about it, but she would throw whatever the attorney, whether they're a partner or a sub partner, she'd throw it on the desk and this is rubbish. My mother was very British, born and raised in Scotland. This is rubbish. You need to rewrite this. This is rubbish. It's not clear. This doesn't say this. My mother back in the day, she could have been an attorney easily. She had all the education, she had all the ability, but women were not allowed to be attorneys back then. They weren't allowed to be doctors back then. Women were always in a sub position, if I can use that term. They are always submissive to the man who ran everything. Right. Well, I wish my mother would have followed through and became a full-on attorney. She was a paralegal, and she ran a staff of, I think there's about 35 ladies, that's a secretarial pool that she ran. And she was very kind, like I said, very kind, but she didn't put up with any garbage either. Mm. And again, I'm going back to the neighborhood. Neighborhood all knew my folks. I couldn't get away with nothing, man.
You know, that reminds me a lot of...
I had to grow up and move out before I could get away.
That reminds me a lot of my mom and also Dr. Demery's mom. Now, my mom... She wasn't quite as soft-spoken as your mom, okay?
But everything she had to say clearly.
But yeah, you heard what she had to say, okay?
I told you, as she's with you, I told you, Mike, not to do that ever again.
Mike, nobody asked you to reenact that, okay? Nobody asked you to do that.
But it was funny.
And Dr. Demery's mom, I don't think she weighed 115 pounds, and she had to be about, was she 5 feet tall, Mike, Dr. Demery?
Maybe.
Huh?
Maybe.
Maybe 5 feet. Wow. And, Dr. Demery had to, step in between her and this smart mouth trustee that decided that she wanted to challenge Dr. Demery's mom. And Dr. Demery had to, I don't know where he had to physically take his mom out of the church. But he got her out of the church, and then she told Dr. Demery, "Oh, I forgot something. I need to go back." Yeah, I know she forgot. She forgot. Like, no, she didn't forget. She wanted to turn into that woman. And I know the person that she was after, too. And I would have been rooting Dr. Demery's mom on. Get her. Okay, because this person, she, one of those trustees in the church that would literally drive people away from the church.
Wow.
Okay. That's sad. I remember doing a program one Saturday. I used to like putting on some programs, and I put on financial literacy programs. I put on different programs. And one time I had a program with about 26 professionals, and Dr. Demery was one of them that came there as well and spoke. And this girl, same trustee we're speaking of, came up to me afterwards. And the one of the people that I had invited, professional I had invited, after this person left, she came up and introduced herself after she left. This person said, "That woman is evil."
Wow.
After only meeting her for about 2 or 3 minutes, she said, "That woman is evil." Wow. I don't know how what she picked up on. This person didn't come up with an attitude, so to speak. But I don't know, maybe it's in her body language, or you can tell. Mm-hmm. It's something about people when you meet them. You get a certain feeling. There is something called body language, and people put off vibes. Okay, it could be in their appearance, in their voice, or whatever it is, their presence. But yes, you're exactly right. So you have people that will drive people away. And when we started, and Mike started talking about good and evil, that's exactly right. You've got good and evil out here. We were talking about church attendance being up in certain churches, even after COVID. And certain people have never returned to church just because they cannot believe in what these charlatans are saying. I'm going to switch to something else real quick, because this is something that offended me that I read, and this happened about a week or so ago. You guys may remember. Let's see if this is it.
William, before you play it, can I say one thing?
Please do.
In terms of what it's like to have neighbors, my mother's parents were farmers. They had a farm in the country. And when I say that there's a difference between how we behave with our neighbors now and the way they would behave with their neighbors then, it's completely mm-hmm. changed. They were so close with their neighbors that to this day, a lot of their neighbors were like family to us. And we're not talking about people who had, you know, a house a few feet away from your own. My grandparents lived on an old country road. And you're talking about going 5 miles down the road to get to Miss Geneva's house. And she's one of the people who there wasn't any blood between us, but she was like my great aunt, my husband, my great uncle. When my grandmother died, we had to have her funeral in the community center because you couldn't get all those people in a church. Wow. It was just that many people who knew and loved her because of the way that the neighbors were. Now, some of them were so close that, you know, family members married other members from the community. And so, you know, we would grow up here and we're in the family with them and we're in the family with that. That just meant you were married to somebody who we were related to by blood. And so it was a community that ended up feeling more like extended family than just people who are your neighbors. I remember one woman coming to my grandmother's funeral and saying, you know, I never saw that woman without a smile on her face. And you just didn't. That was the way, that was the type of spirit that she and my great grandmother had. But one of the other stories that stuck with me is how, you know, my grandparents would be at their house and then there's a field separating them and another neighbor. But for some reason, my grandparents couldn't sleep and they look outside and see their neighbor's light on. And they like, something is going on over there. That's why we can't sleep. And they would get up, get dressed, and go to the neighbor's house, find out what's wrong over there, and help them. People don't do that anymore. I mean, and just to give you an idea of how different it is, when we were kids, if an ambulance or the police pulled up at somebody's house, fire truck, the whole neighborhood came outside. Mm. Everybody was looking and, you know, everybody was like, oh, what's wrong? It's Miss So-and-so and blah, 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 blah. Now people look out their windows, but they're not getting involved.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get involved. Exactly.
It's different. People are afraid of each other. Mm. You have people who are neighbors that will fight to the death, you know, over property lines, over somebody's kid. I mean, even recently, people getting shot, the parents and the kids by neighbors. That was in the news not too terribly long ago. People are crazy. And you just don't have that same level of community and respect, and just basically decency and love for your fellow man the way that you used to in a lot of places. I thank the Lord that, you know, we've in our new neighborhood, we've met our neighbors on either side of us, and we, you know, we've seen other people, you know, wave and smile. I don't know all their names, but I have met several people in the neighborhood and talked to them, but it's nothing like what it was when I was growing up, and certainly nothing like it was when my grandparents and my parents were growing up.
You know, you're exactly right about that. And now where I live now, I live in, it's a row of townhomes here. And I know, I have two neighbors on my right. I know them by name. And there's a neighbor on the left. I know him as well. And I made it a point of speaking, to them. When it's passed by my townhome, I'm on the balcony, and I see them. I say hi. Most of the people, I would say, 85% of the time, they return, you know, return the gesture.
Right.
Now, there have been times, about 10, 15 maybe, if that high. Okay, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. 10, I will say 10. They'll look at you and throw their head up and keep walking. Mm. You know, and I said, okay, and that's fine. That is real fine. And so, but then I will see them speak to my next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They won't speak to me, but they will speak to my next door neighbor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My next door neighbor just happened to be white. I just happened to be black, but it's okay. All right. I'm just saying. And it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter, because I've had black people that have done me wrong. I've had white people that have done me wrong. People have to understand that the world is filled of good people, and it's certainly filled of bad people. And I'll always believe this, Mike and Ann and Dr. Demery, that there are more good people out here than bad. I really truly believe that. I truly believe that. The problem is the bad ones get the news.
They do.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
How many times? It sells. Bad, we've all known this all of our lives, that bad news sells. People I tell you what.
If it bleeds, it leads.
If you have on the front page of a you have two newspapers. On the front page of one, you've got this Boy Scout that's helping the grandmother across the street. Next one, to you have mass murders. The people gonna buy the newspaper with the mass murders.
It's not just newspapers. I mean, it's gossip. Just think about it. What stays, you know, before you had televisions, before you had radios, what did small communities let circulate over and over and over again? All the bad stuff that happened. people couldn't lift their heads up, couldn't do things in public because everybody's pointing and looking. It's the way of the world, whether it's gossip, whether it's, somebody was fornicating, had a baby out of wedlock, whatever the case, you know, was, that's the thing that stuck with people. That's the thing that they want to talk about.